The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Of all the people on the stage, he performs the worst against Hillary Clinton.
Wrong. I beat Hillary Clinton. I beat Hillary Clinton in many polls. I beat Hillary Clinton in many polls.
If you're our nominee,
hold on, Senator. I think I'm talking.
Hold on. Excuse me.
I beat Hillary Clinton in many polls.
Hold on.
I hope you can.
The audience cannot understand when you're talking over each other.
As Rome is burning, the arguing, the insults continue. That's the latest from the most recent debate last night. Lots of back and forth, lots of insults hurled at the other candidates from candidate to candidate. And then you look at what's happening to the United States. Yesterday I talked about the anger among many American citizens, and one of our listeners emailed me and said she wondered if it wasn't more fear that's setting in. She said fear and the beginnings of panic because everything thought to be trustworthy and stable is now quite up in the air and apparently up for grabs too. Americans are seeing it all break down. They see there's no stability. Perhaps they're beginning to sense this crisis in leadership. Jay Ambrose had a column yesterday. Is America falling apart? In fact, it is. More and more commentators are writing pieces like this. He said, you look out right now at the presidential contest and the startling, dismaying probabilities, and it's hard not to wonder if something dramatically wrong isn't happening to America. It is. Too many things are falling apart. This is the United States of America, the greatest superpower in history. And he points out here that too many things are just falling apart. Trust, he says, has disappeared. The white working class is in agony. Family disillusion is a fact of life. The economy is poking along. The debt is racing along. And now we have this political reality show in front of us. Well, it's just making matters worse. He says this last item is currently the headline grabber, but all the above are related, and the rise of Donald Trump is more symptom than cause, as is Senator Bernie Sanders' failing seduction of unwary voters. This crisis in leadership, it's more of a symptom than it is a cause. In fact, it's prophesied. We'll look at that in the second segment. Ambrose says, Hillary Clinton, on the other hand, has been a causative factor, and who hasn't understood the truths implied in the latest joke about the Democratic frontrunner that she just may be or may prove too big to jail? Too big to jail. I mean, it really could be a case where if she doesn't win the election, she could be going to jail. That's the state of politics in the United States right now. And as Ambrose brings out, it's more of a symptom than a cause. French philosopher Joseph de Maistre, he once wrote, every nation gets the government it deserves. Every nation. It gets the government it deserves. I mean, that's an important angle to this circus as well. America has been getting the leaders that it deserves. Pure and simple. He goes on, Ambrose does, and says, of course, Trump, who says he wants to make America great again, is no worse than the thankfully shrinking Sanders, who wants to make America hate again. It's complicated, to be sure, but Trump and Sanders attract their followers primarily because of massive, pronounced distrust for the common way of things. Polls have repeatedly shown for years now that public trust in virtually all of our institutions is evaporating, not the least of them government. The trust is gone. Fear has set in, anger, the beginnings of panic. It says, while some of this would seem unjustified, some of it isn't. Moral corruption is easily found among our elected officials. You just see it everywhere. Moral corruption. Trump gets much of his support, Ambrose says, not all of it, but much of it from the white working class, people who are clearly up against it. Not so long ago, it was revealed that because of suicide, drugs, and alcohol, the death rate of middle-aged whites with no more than a high school education was going up, while it was going down for all other large groups. He says, this is a huge tragedy, a sign of massive societal disintegration. And we talked about this report on this program. Suicide, drugs, alcohol, the death rate among middle-aged whites, middle-aged white people, Americans who are discouraged, who have given up, who are addicted to substances. It says societies don't work without trust, without sound families, without opportunities, without well-functioning economies, or without dependable leadership. See, it's all connected. And really what he's talking about here is touching on the causes. What is the cause of this crisis? What's causing this breakdown? Well, it comes back to family. It comes back to law and obedience. He concludes his piece by saying there's still much that's outstanding about our land, but there's a lot to worry about, too. There is a lot to worry about. He still sees a glimmer of hope that somehow the United States can turn it all around. Somehow, some way, somewhere, a leader will show up to perhaps lead America back on the right track. But there's a lot to worry about. He asks, is America falling apart? Everywhere that you look, you see things breaking down and falling apart. And then the reality show on television, the back and forth, the flying insults. I quoted this on Monday's show from the United States and Britain in Prophecy, Herbert Armstrong, who said, we face today conditions such as the world never before has witnessed. Today, the big problem is the stark question of survival. For the first time in world history, the weapons of mass destruction exist, which can erase all life from the earth. Chiefs of government and world-famous scientists have been saying publicly, we must adjust to living in fear of human annihilation with no solutions in sight. Now, as I brought out, I believe, Monday as well, here this was written 50, 60 years ago originally. And Mr. Armstrong was spot on. He didn't live long enough to see all of this unfold before our eyes, to see the great nation of the United States fall apart. But it's all happening. It's all building to these prophecies that we've discussed this week. Jesus saying, then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. How come preachers don't talk about these prophecies? How come they don't warn you in love about what's coming? Jesus said, except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh saved alive. That's how bad it's going to get. He was talking about total destruction. Well, we're living in the very days, the very generation where, because of advancing technologies, it's very possible for man to inflict this kind of destruction upon himself. Many times over, in fact. Daniel 12:1 also we read this week. At the time of the end, it's going to be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation. A time of trouble like never before. We'll get into that more in Jeremiah 30 if you want to grab your Bible and read along. But first, let me play for you an audio clip by Herbert Armstrong as he brings out here. It's not like we haven't been warned. Now, sure, you don't hear much of this from any other preacher, from any other church. But the warnings, nevertheless, have gone out. God sees to it that these nations, that this world is warned, even if people turn away from that warning message, even if they go and bury their heads in the sand. This is what he said, Mr. Armstrong, back in the 1960s on his radio broadcast.
You know, God loves us and he wants to serve us, and that's why God is about to punish our nation, because we have to have it to save us from ourselves, because God loves us and that's the only way he can serve us. My friends, God is warning this nation through my voice now. He has warned it through many another voice. God warned the world through his prophets of old. They stoned the prophets. He sent his son to warn the world and to tell them the true way. They crucified him. Yes, and he's had his minister since, but the people don't listen to that kind of preaching. And now God, in love, in order to serve us for our own good, is going to punish the only language that you people, most of you, and the most of this nation will understand.
Sadly, that's the reality. That's the only language that people will pay attention to. Look at what mankind has done to all of the others, the prophets, Jesus himself. That warning has gone out. Mr. Armstrong, he spoke to millions over radio and TV. And he warned the United States of what's now happening. He warned Great Britain as well. Let's look at this time of trouble, Jeremiah 30, and we'll start in verse 1. There is hope, as we just read there from that gospel account where Jesus said, except those days should be shortened. I mean, God is going to shorten these days. God will intervene on the affairs of this earth. God is sending his son back to this earth to set up a new world, led by a new government. Jeremiah 30 and verse 1, it says, the word that came to Jeremiah from the Eternal, saying, thus speaks the Lord God of Israel, saying, write you all the words that I've spoken unto you in a book. Write this down. It was for later, in other words. Look at the end of chapter 30. Jeremiah 30 and verse 24, it says, in the latter days you shall consider it. In the latter days, you're going to consider these prophecies. That's why Jeremiah recorded this prophecy. That's why he wrote it in a book. It says in verse 3, For lo, the days come, says the Eternal, that I will bring again the captivity of my people, Israel and Judah. Thus says the Eternal, and I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it. This is addressed to Israel and Judah. Now, at the time Jeremiah wrote this, Israel had already been in captivity. Israel went into captivity 100 years, a century, before Jeremiah wrote this. And notice he says there, I will bring again the captivity of my people, Israel and Judah. And it's for the latter days. It says that in this very chapter. Why should Bible scholars be out there trying to say, well, this has all been fulfilled anciently? None of it applies to today. You take that position and you just pretty much erase a third of the Bible. These prophecies are dual. And if you haven't gone through it yet, get the United States and Britain in prophecy so you can understand that third of the Bible, so that you can see how relevant it is to today. It's for our day today. It's for the last days, these prophecies. And these are the words, verse 4, these are the words that the Eternal spoke concerning Israel and concerning Judah. Here again, it's aimed at these two. Who is Israel today? Little Judah, I mean, that was composed of the tribe of Judah, the Jews, in other words, Benjamin. But what about all the lost tribes? Where are they today? The U.S. and Britain in prophecy explains. For thus says the Eternal, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Ask you now, and see whether a man does travail with child. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins as a woman in travail? And all faces are turned into paleness. Every face in these nations, these peoples, the people of Israel, the people of Judah, every face is going to go pale and white because of the trouble, because of the breakdown. Verse 7 says, alas, for the day, that day is great, so that none is like it. It's the same message as Daniel 12:1. It's the same message as Matthew 24, 21, and 22. That day is great, so that none is like it. It's even the time of Jacob's trouble. Jacob's trouble. Jacob, of course, was the name of Israel before conversion. Jacob here refers to the people of the United States and Britain. As Mr. Armstrong wrote in a 1978 letter, when prophecy tells us this, this is to be the time of Jacob's trouble. That means primarily the United States and the British people. This is what we're facing. Is America falling apart? Yes, it is. It's the time of trouble talked about in Daniel 12:1 and Jeremiah 30 and verse 7. We're facing the worst trouble that our peoples have ever experienced. Ever. It's going to be worse than what happened anciently. It's going to be worse than what happened in World War II. That's the way the Bible describes it. Primarily, it's a time of Jacob's trouble. Notice what Mr. Armstrong said in another radio broadcast from the early 60s.
Now that is the time of Jacob's trouble. That is the time of the great trouble of America that is coming. It's the greatest time of trouble that has ever happened to any nation. Jesus Christ foretold that time of trouble when he said it was the greatest time of national and of worldwide trouble that had ever come since there was a nation on the face of the earth or ever will. The prophet Daniel spoke of it in the same language virtually. He said, at that time, many that sleep in the dust of the ground shall awake, some to everlasting life. That is just before the second coming of Christ. It is the time known as spoken of in the prophecy of Jesus recorded in Matthew 24 as the Great Tribulation. God Almighty is going to intervene and cut short those days, but the days are going to happen. He's going to deliver us out of this trouble, but we're going to get into it. And we're going to be into it until Christ comes to shorten those days.
So just like all the scriptures bring out, God's going to intervene to cut short those days, even what we just read here. I mean, that's from Matthew 24, but here in verse 7 again, I didn't read the end of it there. For that day is great, so that none is like it. It's even a time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. He's going to be saved out of it. God's going to cut short those days. Again, you see all these prophecies, whether it's from Jeremiah or Daniel, many centuries before Jesus came along, or from the Gospels, the Olivet prophecy, that pivotal prophecy in Matthew 24, or what John then wrote decades later in the book of Revelation, they all complement each other. They all say the same thing. God will intervene and cut short those days. But as Mr. Armstrong brought out there, those days are going to happen. Those troubling days. Those days of tribulation. Those days of affliction, of captivity. Look at verse 8, it says, "For it shall come to pass in that day, says the Eternal of hosts, that I will break his yoke from off your neck, and I will burst your bonds, and strangers shall no more serve themselves of him. But they shall serve the Eternal their God, and David their king, and I'll raise whom I'll raise up unto them." I mean, is this talking about the last days that lead right up to the return of Christ and the establishment of God's kingdom on earth? When David and so many others will be resurrected to serve under the administration or the lead of Jesus Christ. It puts it all in the time period of today. Shame on those who would say this is for the ancient days only, for ancient Israel only. David had been dead for, what, 400 years when Jeremiah wrote this? Mr. Armstrong said in the United States and Britain in prophecy, so the time is just prior to Christ coming to liberate our peoples, even as Moses liberated ancient Israel from Egyptian slavery. That's the time period. Just prior to Christ coming, when he's going to come to liberate our peoples, to make our nations great again, as I said yesterday, to make America great again. To put an end to the madness, to put an end to the division and the strife, the fighting, the constant warfare, and to bring peace and happiness to this earth. Verse 12 says, "For thus says the Eternal, your bruise is incurable, and your wound is grievous. There's none to plead your cause, that you may be bound up. You have no healing medicines. All your lovers," or your allies, in other words, "they've all forgotten you. They seek you not. For I have wounded you with the wound of an enemy, with the chastisement of a cruel one, for the multitude of your iniquity, because your sins were increased." Here's the root cause. Here's the cause of all of our troubles, of all of our problems, God says. It always gets back to iniquity, to sin. The very things that we all across society celebrate. We celebrate family dysfunction. We celebrate the worst kinds of sins. And so then when the reality show or the political circus comes to town, it shouldn't shock us. It shouldn't surprise us. Because like that column brought out by Jay Ambrose, it's falling apart. It's falling apart. You see societal disintegration. There's no sound families. There's a crisis in leadership. We can thank God, though, that he's going to cut it short, that he will intervene, that after the world collapses under the weight of these many sins and all of this ignorance, Jesus Christ will return and establish the kingdom of God on this earth. And he'll have helpful assistance from others like King David, who, as it says right here in this passage, he'll be resurrected to assist Jesus Christ. Moses, Abraham, Isaac, and the first fruits. If you look at the New Testament, and the reason for establishing the church as Jesus did at his first coming, it's a very simple plan. God's plan is moving forward. Jesus Christ's government is very nearly prepared to rule this earth. We're drawing near to the return of Jesus Christ to this earth. When he does return as supreme ruler, as it says in Revelation 11 and verse 15, the governments of this world will cease to exist. Only God can make America great again. Only God can make Great Britain great again. This is what so many refuse to accept. The fact that Christ is coming back to rule. The fact that Christ is coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, as one who governs. You're listening to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show on KPCG 101.3 on the FM dial in Edmond. The live stream is available at thetrumpet.com and also the kpcg.fm website. Keep sending us those emails. Appreciate all those comments that came in this week. Send those comments to td@kpcg.fm. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily. The very best minds in the world are in total ignorance of the unprecedented cataclysm that is about to strike. And why have these prophecies not been understood or believed? Because the vital key that unlocks prophecy to our understanding had been lost. That key is the identity of the United States and the British peoples in biblical prophecy. That key has been found. It is presented to those whose unprejudiced eyes are willing to see in this volume, The United States and Britain in Prophecy. The events prophesied to strike the American and British peoples in the next few years are sure. These colossal world events, shrinking the first two world wars into insignificance, will come, but not until the warning has been made available for those whose eyes are willing to see. Request The United States and Britain in Prophecy today. To learn more, please visit thetrumpet.com. From the Philadelphia Church of God campus in Edstone, England, this is the Trumpet Daily Program with Stephen Flurry.
As it brings out in that column by Ambrose, this breakdown of leadership, or this crisis in leadership, is more of a symptom of all of our troubles than it is a cause. But that breakdown or that crisis in leadership is certainly prophesied. We've referred to Isaiah 3 a couple of times this week already, but let's just go through these verses. Isaiah 3, where it talks about an upside-down society, where it talks about societal disintegration. Notice verse 1 of Isaiah 3. It says, "For behold, the Lord of hosts, does take away from Jerusalem and from Judah the stay and the staff, the whole stay of bread, and the whole stay of water." I mean, this is talking about, this is the same message as Jeremiah 30 and verse 7. It's the same message as Daniel 12:1 and Matthew 24, 21 and 22. God's talking about a total disaster here, a total breakdown. Food and water scarce. And along with it, verse 2, the mighty man. This is what God takes away. The mighty man, the man of war, the judge, the prophet, the prudent, the ancient, the captain of 50, and the honorable man, the counselor, and the cunning artificer, and the eloquent orator. They're all gone. They're all gone. And as this passage goes on to bring out, it's just now a bunch of children bickering, fighting, insulting one another. Where are the honorable men? Where are the great counselors of our day, the great judges. What's left of them, they're dying off. And look at who's replacing them. True leadership, it's gone. And this is what's filled the vacuum, verse 4, and I'll give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them. It's not just talking about youthful in age, but those that have the mentality of little children. Our leaders in so many ways have degenerated to a child's level in judgment, decision-making, wisdom, discernment, courage, moral courage, faith. My father in his booklet, Winston S. Churchill, The Watchman, he said, we are so childish that we're almost totally unaware of our lack of real leaders. We fail to see it as a curse from God. That's what it is. And it's on full display. And it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing to watch. But it's reality. It's a curse. That's the reality. He says, no great nation can survive without strong leadership. Childish leaders lack the will to face strong tyrants. Our will is broken in our leaders, exactly as God prophesied. When will we face the brutal truth about ourselves and then repent? When will we face up to it? When will we face facts? He brings out, by the way, again, you read verses 2, 3, and 4 together with verse 1. We've read all of them here. But it's all happening as the nation is falling apart in the booklet. And notice, my father writes, notice the nation is falling apart at the same time. There isn't even enough bread and water for the people. This is where weak leaders take us. It can only end in the worst possible calamity. There's cause and effect. What a terrifying price to pay for following the wrong leaders. Is America falling apart? J. Ambrose asked in his column yesterday. Well, look at all of these prophecies. Look at all these prophecies in Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel, Matthew, the Gospels, Revelation. Here in Isaiah 3, we read of this crisis in leadership, and God explains where it's taking us. Look at it today. Has it ever been this dysfunctional? Our government in the United States, it's broken. And the leaders are too childish to even see where this is leading, to see where this is headed. They make great promises, and we've heard all of that before. And meanwhile, you have a total breakdown, a societal disintegration. You have the family upside down or broken, both. Verse 5, and the people shall be oppressed, everyone by another, and everyone by his neighbor. The child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient, and the base against the honorable. Upside down, young people, youths that rise up against the ancient, against the older, the elderly, those that should be honored and respected. But it's not that way because we've taken discipline out of the home, out of the school, out of society. And we go after law enforcement. We go after the people in positions of authority. And then we wonder why no one respects authority. And then we wonder why people make fun of those in positions of authority. And then those in positions of authority stand up and behave like little children. And that makes matters worse. That's the world we live in. Verse 6, it says, when a man shall take hold of his brother, here's what it leads to. His brother of the house of his father, saying, You have clothing, be you our ruler, and let this ruin be under your hand. It's going to get so bad that nobody's going to want to rule, that nobody's going to want to step up and lead when they see that, well, the Titanic actually is going down. Those days are coming. They are coming. Thank God that he's going to cut it short. But those days of trouble are here. I'm just trying to find that quote again. God will intervene and cut short those days, but the days are going to happen. That's what Mr. Armstrong said in that clip that I played for you. Notice verse 8 here in Isaiah 3. It says, "For Jerusalem is ruined and Judah is fallen because their tongue and their doings are against the Eternal, to provoke the eyes of his glory." Jerusalem was the capital of ancient Israel. In prophecy, it's a type of Israel today, again, mainly America and Britain. And God says, it's ruined. That's the way God speaks of it, as if it's already occurred. These prophecies are certain. These prophecies, they come from God's mouth. Verse 9 says, "The show of their countenance does witness against them, and they declare their sin as Sodom. They hide it not. Woe unto their soul, for they have rewarded evil unto themselves." Instead of turning to God in repentance, we celebrate our sins. We declare our sins as Sodom. That's what Sodom did. They were so proud of their way of life, of their many sins. They were so tolerant of any kind of behavior, and they celebrated that. That was popular culture. And it was anti-family. And it made a normal family look bizarre. Total breakdown in that society. And what was God's view? What was God's opinion? What did God do? Are you familiar with that history? There in the early pages of Genesis? History's repeating itself. Verse 12 says, "As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, they which lead you, cause you to err, and to destroy the way of your paths." It's an upside-down family. The family, the traditional family, it's being assaulted from every direction, from every angle. As my father says in his booklet on the prophet Isaiah, God's church and the nations of Israel are destroying the physical family, which should be patterned after God's family. "Soon all nations shall flow to Zion, where God's family law is taught." Those who deeply learn the lesson today about God's family government will be teaching all nations in the very near future. Christ is getting his bride ready to rule the world. You can see that in Revelation 19. And so the church is here today, composed of all of its various parts. Those families, fathers, mothers, children, being brought up in the ways of God, trained to be leaders. Trained to be leaders. And it all starts in the home. It all starts with God's family government. You see the solution in these same prophecies that talk about these days of trouble. These days are now upon us. The beginning of sorrows is here. God will intervene to cut it short. That's true. But the days are still going to be upon us. And so J. Ambrose asked, is America falling apart? Well, yes, it is. As he brings out, we're witnessing a massive societal disintegration. Society just can't work without the foundation. without the family foundation. It's broken. It's fallen apart. And then the crisis in leadership. But be assured, God will intervene to cut it short. But those days are still going to happen. Just as Mr. Armstrong warned. I'll conclude with that clip here in just a second. But we're going to cut the show short just a little bit today as we're heading out to Wales for our annual college campout. Those in Edmond, of course, are going on the traditional Robber's Cave venture for the next several days over the weekend and into Monday and Tuesday of next week. And those few of us here at Edstone will be heading about 3 hours west, I believe it is. I didn't bring the name of the resort that we're going to. So all I can tell you is that it's on the coast in Wales. So you can look at a map on your own time and just basically find Edstone or find the Birmingham region and go 3 hours west of that. And that's where we're going to be for the next few days. We have a couple of subs lined up for the Trumpet Daily Radio Show on Monday and Tuesday. So you can excitedly look forward to that. And with that, we put the finishing touches on another week of broadcasting. Thank you for joining us, and we'll conclude today's show with that soundbite we played earlier from Mr. Armstrong.
You know, God loves us, and he wants to serve us, and that's why God is about to punish our nation, because we have to have it to save us from ourselves, because God loves us, and that's the only way he can serve us. My friends, God is warning this nation through my voice now. He has warned it through many another voice. God warned the world through his prophets of old. They stoned the prophets. He sent his son to warn the world and to tell them the true way. They crucified him. Yes, and he's had his minister since, but the people don't listen to that kind of preaching. And now God, in love, in order to serve us for our own good, is going to punish the only language that you people, most of you, and the most of this nation will understand.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily.